It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so, you know, here it is, our anniversary, 12 years of independent, non-commercial, progressive, fearless, fierce, ferocious, liberal broadcasting, and still going at it. It's our birthday at the Horn. We went on air on the 24th day of October, 2005, and have been at it ever since. And we are, I am told by Brother Deacon Asa, butter churning in both vats, Bob. Namely, headon.live and, of course, the whiterosesociety.org stream. So thanks for that, Brother Deacon Asa. If this was anything but an... you know what I mean. Cake, ice cream, party hats, noisemakers, all of that stuff. We'd do that. But instead, why don't we just do a radio show, just like we do every night. Shall we? Yes. Listener-supported, independent, progressive, liberal, call it what you will, broadcasting for anyone who wants to listen. Everything about the Horn is free, and y'all keep it that way. And that is a constant source of amazement and admiration for me. And hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And we've got an abundance of stuff to go into this evening. Plenty of stuff to cuss and discuss about. And maybe we'll probably take some calls somewhere along the way if that's what you want to do. Yeah, it all, you know, as has always been the case, y'all largely determine the course the program will take. And of course, our anniversary falls this year on a Titanic Tuesday, when we celebrate acts of titanic intellect that goes back years and years and years to a time when our buddy Jim was listening to the morning monotone, the morning conservative monotone, right-wing monotone in America's fifth smallest radio market, when he heard him take a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers who said, "Steve, how come you reckon it is there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach, ain't no ocean nowhere near us, and we got seashells in the rocks." To which Steve, who was a monotone of tremendous, tremendous abilities, he could put paint to sleep with that monotone, replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates, only with much less emotion than I just put in it." And therein was born Titanic Tuesday, in which we celebrate Titanic right-wing intellect. Yeah, we've been talking about the movement of the Titanic plates for years since then, but we still don't have any, there's still no word on the Titanic copper-clad omelet pan. A lot of stuff on that Titanic table, yes indeed. Thousands of feet below the surface of the ocean now, of course, but lots of stuff on the Titanic table. But no, we've got a lot of that, and of course we've got the reason we're able to be here, and have been here as long as we have been, is simply and expressly you. There are no ads, of course. I mean, once you get around the bullshit nutritional supplements like desiccated dill and egalitarian eggplant, we don't have anything to sell here. Although I should note that this evening, from courtesy of the hardworking non-scientists at Horn Labs, I am proud to announce a new addition to the Horn Nutritional Supplement lineup. That's right. Hard-ass jojoba is there, and hard-ass, the H in hard-ass is spelled with a J, just like the ho in jojoba is spelled with a J and an O. Hard-ass jojoba from Horn Labs will absolutely bring you up to your peak of fitness. You know, I've never cared much for jojoba, except at about, you know, Christmas time, and everybody loves jojoba at Christmas time, but I've never cared much for jojoba, and to this day, I can only get my daily supply of jojoba goodness through the little capsules that are a proprietary blend of organic, free-range, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, cruelty-free jojoba provided expressly on an output contract from a small jojoba farm in jojoba country. Hard-ass jojoba, only from Horn Labs. Don't ask for it by name. It doesn't exist, nor do any of the Horn Labs products. We only put these things out there so that we can be cool like the for-profit radio programs that offer bullshit, meaningless nutritional supplements. And if you don't order now, you won't receive a packet of test strips so you can test your hard-ass jojoba and have the peace of mind that your hard-ass jojoba has no nutritional value whatsoever, just like all the other bullshit nutritional supplements for sale out in radio land. Okay. But anyway, we've got $244 to raise this evening. Pulled up a little short last night. $244 to raise. That's one at 244, two at 122, four at 61, eight at $30.50, 16 at 15 and a quarter, and 32 at, oh dear God, 750. $7.63. $7.63. And we'll take that extra half a penny and we'll put it into the Horn Mansion general upkeep fund and Christmas fund for the Christmas bonuses of all of the mansion staff. Mm-hmm. Damn it, Earther, you figured it out. Hey, these test strips are just scratch and sniff stickers. Yeah, but do you really know what jojoba smells like, huh? Do you? No, I didn't think so. Exactly. Silent R. Lamar noting, yes, Horn Lab scientists are all ex-NASA lab scientists. And, of course, they're ex-NASA lab scientists because, well, they're probably ex-EPA lab scientists who have been furloughed and canned as a result of the de-emphasis of science in the era, the age of Trump. Mm-hmm. So that takes care of most of the stuff. It would be it would be great if we could just knock down the fundraising goal at the beginning of the program, and I could shut up about it because it annoys the you don't like it, and I don't like it, and it just but it's the only way we stay on the air. $244, 10 at 24 or 24 at 10, you know, what have you. You want to kick in? Well, you can always. You can always go over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the contribute tab, and you'll be right there. If you'd like to make it a monthly thing where you set it and forget it, just put the number in, click the little box, and move on. If you don't like PayPal, you can always go to the Patreon campaign and become a subscriber there. Patreon, patreon.com/BobKincaid, and those and that's easy to remember because those subscriptions come out only on the first day of every month. I'm finding out that I'm hearing that there's problems with the White Rose stream, but HeadOn.live is streaming nicely. Jack tells me my White Rose stream has been cutting off a bunch, but HeadOn Live seems to be working okay. Oh, for pity's sakes. Well, of course, you know, on our anniversary. Right. So if you can hear me well enough, if you're listening to the White Rose stream, and you can get you can understand what I'm saying, go over to HeadOn.live. Just go over to HeadOn.live. You can do it through a mobile device on a computer. Doesn't matter what. Go over to HeadOn.live this evening, because it wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be us if we weren't having technical problems on the freaking anniversary show. But that's okay. Yeah. So thanks, guys, for letting me know. Thank you very kindly to Rhonda for getting us started on this anniversary evening. That means that thanks to Rhonda, the fundraising goal is now down below $200. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Rhonda. We now have $194 to go in fundraising. Thank you so very much. Robert in Australia says the White Rose stream was dropping out. It seems to have stabilized now. I haven't seen any buffering, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just a sec. Thank you very kindly. Les says, happy anniversary. It's coming in loud and clear on TuneIn. Well, it is for some, it's not for others. Dadgummit. Thank you very kindly to Rhonda, and hopefully you'll have some friends this evening. You know, maybe at some point in time we'll have a deep philosophical discussion about, you know, things we want to see happen with the horn, and it's now that we're working on year 13, now that, you know, 12 full years of liberal, progressive, non-commercial, independent broadcasting, we've started year 13 this evening, and, you know, what would we like to have happen? I know what I'd like to have happen, but what you want, because the Horn Family Community Congregation has driven what the Horn is for just about the entire the entirety of the Horn's existence. Cold weather is eventually coming here. I would like to be able, and I've been doing some research. You know, we talked about a generator for a while, and, but I have. I've been doing some research, not so much on full, you know, up-on-the-roof solar systems, but there are solar-powered battery backups out there that could run the horn for an entire program and everything associated with the horn for an entire program. Every, in case of an emergency or one of those week or two long power outages that happens here, I'd love for us to have one of those so that the next time our failing, antiquated, craptastic, coal-fired power grid goes down, that it doesn't take us with it. We'll talk about that all later, though, okay? Because it's, and by the way, Robert notes, just because there's buffering and dropouts doesn't mean it's your fault or that the problem is at your end. Well, most of the time it means probably that, something like Frontier sucks. I mean, yeah, sometimes sometimes the White Rose server crashes. It's bound to. I mean, oh, I just saw a blip of buffering. Son of a bitch. But most of the time it means that Frontier sucks. And, well, Frontier has been doing a fabulous job of sucking lately. Because Frontier. Right? Wow. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Bob in Texas, our buddy Bob in Texas. It just wiped out fundraising for the evening. Thank you, Bob. Thank you very, very, very much. Anybody else wanting to jump out there and take a bite out of the rest of the month? Remember, because we're downhill. It's the 24th of October. We got 7 days of October left. Two of those are weekend days. October ends on a Monday, and that means that we will have, we're downhill to licking the Lithuanian, nudging the Norsky, and cashing the check. All of that, we have to finish to the good, or at least even, in order for those bonuses to kick in. So, just bear that in mind. Now, Titanic Tuesday, right? Titanic Tuesday. I thought, this is another one of those evenings, and I want to share a note with you, by the way, courtesy of our friend Sylvia. Sylvia is the sponsor of Cash the Check every month. Sylvia sent me a note last night after the program. She said, "I'm sorry, but I found today's program a downer. I really am tired of Trump's incessant tirades. I know we must discuss his foibles, but if we're giving him the validation and attention, but are we, I think, giving him the validation and attention he so craves? I'd also like more time for callers in, since we missed out on Friday on the front porch meeting. But we had Thorn in the side porch Thursday, remember? I don't want much, huh?" says Sylvia. "It's just that I admire that you keep plugging, even when you're not feeling good. There's a nerve that causes that funny bone feeling. I had issues with that, but the shoulder joint just where it flexes, which sounds reminiscent of what you're experiencing. Whatever it is, I wish it would go the hell away." I was just talking with a friend of mine. CBDs are legal and obtainable in West Virginia now, and I'm thinking seriously about maybe trying that. I'm told that is a very, very good thing for pain issues like this, nerve pain, that sort of thing. I almost did a terrible thing. Part of the reason that the fundraising goal dropped down from what would have been $272, was the kind offices of the Horn subscribers, and I don't like to miss out on mentioning the subscribers. We have two subscribers on this, the 24th day of the month. We have Pam. Thank you, Pam. And we have Jason. Thank you very kindly, Jason. And so thank you to those, who are partial sponsors of the 24th day of the month on the Horn. If there's anybody out there that would like to be able to, I mean, and that's how it works out. It's kind of like a sponsorship, only we're not selling stuff. We're just sort of taking care of maintaining our little community here. Back to Thorn in the Side. No, to Titanic Tuesday. Yes, it's Titanic Tuesday. I understand Sylvia's, I won't say displeasure, but just, you know, she said it was a bummer. It was a downer. And it was. You know what? And I'm not being mean here. I'm commiserating. The people who were standing behind the gates of Rome when Attila was banging on the gates, they thought it was a bummer too. It's generally not fun to be hanging around while your country, your nation, your polity, whatever you want to do, circles the drain. And we're doing that. So my apologies if things seem a little bit icky, but they're going to be from time to time. And we're going to continue to frolic and carry on. But there are going to be days like last night, and my profound apologies for that. But they're going to be there. Question coming from GK. Bob, has your neighbor started burning coal yet? Interesting you would ask, because I was thinking about that the other day. Oh, I'll start choking just any minute now. No, not yet. And I'm hoping that maybe that won't happen this year for a variety of reasons, but that don't bear going into. Maybe it won't happen, but then again, it's also, you know, West Virginia, so there's a strong chance that it will. You know, just throw a handful of lumps of coal right there in the fireplace and let them sort of combust in a sort of free-range fashion. Free-range coal, probably gluten-free, too. Yeah, lots of things going on. Well, no, I mean, not a lot of things, but we've got new neighbors. And if the floor-length, handmade denim skirt and really, really long hair piled up into a knot on top of her head was any indication, I'm guessing they're probably Pentecostals. So I'm just sort of, we haven't had that, hey, neighbor, how are you moment yet, but it's coming. And they're not just new neighbors. They're new neighbors who are the nearest house to us. Please, please don't let them try to save my soul. Please don't make me be a mean neighbor. But no, 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 no. But the possibility exists. Yes. And you're getting some commiseration, Sylvia, from Earther, who says, we're not giving him any validation. He's not tuning into the horn. But yes, I get Trump grains too sometimes, though. And don't we all? Which sort of leads gently into the conversation, or where I was. This was another one of those days where I felt absolutely certain, rock solid sure, that I had the lead story for Titanic Tuesday just nailed right down. I felt certain of it. And then along comes Jeff Flake and ruins all my plans. Damn it. Because Jeff Flake, you know, senator from Arizona, announced today, and of course he had something like an 18% approval rating with his electorate, his constituency. Jeff Flake announced today that he, like Bob Corker, will not run for re-election in 2018. And Geezer Disgustus has gone after him on a number of occasions because Jeff Flake, even though he is a wild-eyed right-wing fanatic of the First Order, was not deemed sufficiently obsequious to Kaiser Kumquat. And so he gave a an interview to the Arizona Republic today, the primary newspaper of the state there. And he waxed eloquent about the failures of government with which we deal. You might want to get, just saying, you might want to get the hockey puck and the duct tape out for this one. Because it's right liable to make you run out in the yard and bark. Because the level of hypocrisy it takes to say something like this is pretty goddamn stunning. Jeff Flake has a SAD. Oh, yes. Jeff Flake, in speaking to the Senate today, said, I rise today with no small measure of regret. Mm-hmm. Regret because of the state of our disunion. Regret because of the disrepair and destructiveness of our politics. Regret because of the indecency of our discourse. Regret because of the coarseness of our leadership. Regret for the compromise of our moral authority and by our all of our complicity in this alarming and dangerous state of affairs. It is time for our complicity and our accommodation of the unacceptable to end. Wowzer. Right? That's a mouthful. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty thin on sympathy for Jeff Flake. There's an old joke out there, and I guess it has what would be termed an ethnic bent to it. Not really. It's a Lone Ranger and Tonto joke. And it, in the Lone Ranger and Tonto joke, they've been surrounded by a vast number of extremely hostile natives. And things don't look good. And the Lone Ranger turns to Tonto and says, "Well, old friend, We've certainly had a lot of adventures. But it looks like this is the end of the line for us." At which point Tonto turns to the Lone Ranger and says, "What you mean us, Paleface?" That's the joke. And the reason I thought of that was because of the hand-wringing that was proffered by Jeff Flake today. When I read that line about the destructiveness of our politics, the indecency of our discourse, the coarseness of our leadership, regret for the compromise of our moral authority, And then I'm thinking, well, maybe he means the Republicans. And he says, and by our, all of our complicity in this alarming and dangerous state of affairs. Mm-mm. No, sorry. Not buying. I don't care if you take the price down to you pay me to haul it away. I ain't buying. Because you know what? I remember, I've got a rather long memory, and I remember the toxicity that Jeff Flake contributed to our political discourse. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not jumping on the Jeff Flake bandwagon. I'm not a fan. As Laborman points out in the chat room, fuck Flake, he's a jagoff. And I can remember a number of occasions when he was exactly that. Flake is awful. I mean, I watched, you know, I watched the coverage as it broke this evening, and I was like, wait, are we talking about the same guy? Since when is it heroic to run the hell away? And the same goes for Bob Corker. I'd love to be able to say something nice about them. I mean, at this point in time, I'm pretty much left with, well, I guess their mothers loved them. But the way you defeat what is being done to our country is not to say, well, fiddle-dee-dee, I am disgusted, and prance off in and prance off into retirement. God damn, no. It's in a way, it's, you know, this being our anniversary and everything, just a gentle reminder, there has been more time devoted on this program to discussions of mountaintop removal in Appalachia than by any other program or any other individual broadcaster on the face of planet Earth. And this is not me saying what a great guy I am. But when standing and fighting is all you've got besides running away, who the fuck runs away? Well, apparently Jeff Flake runs away and Bob Corker runs away. You know, sometimes not running away is what you do when you have no way to run away. Bob, mountaintop removal is awful. Why don't you move? Man, don't have anywhere to run to. So I'll just stand and fight. Or maybe sometimes it's a matter of, you know, heritage. You know, is this a private feud? Or can anybody jump in? That sort of thing. That would be Angus Kincaid there, Ron and Raleigh. Note coming from Larry. A crusty dandruff flake has more heart and is less of a flake than Jeff Flake could ever be. Ooh, that's cold. But it's also true. Why not stand up in the, why not stand up when you're saying all this and saying, I don't care if Donald Trump wants a law commending the delightfulness of kittens playing with balls of yarn. I won't vote for it. Not only will I not vote for it, I won't just abstain, I'll vote against it. I'm voting with the Democrats for until I leave the Senate, or until he leaves the White House, whichever comes first. That is a courageous moment. That is an act of bravery. Jeff Flake is just tottering away from the fight. And you know, I guess he and Bob Corker can just sit on the sidelines and tweet snarky things at Donald Trump, which frankly the rest of us are handling just fine. But all of this business about our complicity in this alarming and dangerous day, bite me, Bambi. And, you know, this is another one of those, I don't know, I guess it's that prodigal son thing where but no. We have not all been complicit in this. We have not done the things that Jeff Flake has done. Jeff Flake is an enabler of the single most powerful, wealthiest domestic terror organization in the United States, the NRA. Jeff Flake, given the opportunity, would personally crawl up inside the reproductive organs of every woman in America to make sure that she was being appropriately obsequious to the precious little fetuses. Jeff Flake voted reliably for every nut job that Donald Trump sent up as a cabinet nominee. Jeff Flake, just like Bob Corker, supported, Betsy DeVos. Jeff Flake voted for Ben Carson. Jeff Flake voted for Scott Pruitt. Jeff Flake likes what Scott Pruitt is doing at EPA. He voted for Shrinky Zinky there at Interior. The Alliance for Retired Americans gave him a 3% rating. On the other hand, the American Energy Alliance, the NRA of Big Oil, gave him a 97% rating. The opposite end of that stick might be the Council for a Livable World. From them, he got 9%. The Human Rights Legislative Group gave him 0. And yeah, he's got 100% rating, A double plus good, from the National Rifle Association, who brought you Las Vegas and Aurora and Virginia Tech and Sandy Hook, and all the other horrible, horrible places where the pointer of their roulette wheel of death has stopped. So I'm not in love. I'm just not. And the phony baloney hand wringing, save it for another day. Let these noble orations be uttered by people who are willing to stand up and do something. You're worried about the coarsening of our political life, Jeff Flake? Then stand up and say that he should be either 25th Amendmented or impeached. Say it. And until such time as you do, Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, I'll say that you don't have the guts to do it. Oh, it goes on and on. We must never regard as normal the regular and casual undermining of our democratic norms and ideals. We must never meekly accept the daily sundering of our country, the personal attacks, the threats against principles, freedoms, and institutions, the flagrant disregard for truth or decency, the reckless provocations, most often for the pettiest and most personal reasons, reasons having nothing whatsoever to do with the fortunes of the people that we have all been elected to serve. Anybody mind if I point out that this man eagerly voted to take health care away from 30 million American people? Three weeks ago, a white guy shot more than 600 people. Jeff Flake hasn't said shit. As Carol Baker points out, it's like it never happened. So, yeah, we pay him a lot of money, but it apparently hasn't purchased him a spine. Yeah, Earther in the chat room pointing out, yes, Bob, but he doesn't smear feces on his forehead, so that makes him brave, courageous, and pragmatic in saying those things. Among Republicans, that's probably goddamn well true. But what we have here is a case of Republicans trying to protect the Republican brand, because behind the scenes, that's what they all say. They're scared to death that Donald Trump is destroying the Republican Party. And because I am Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine, I'll point out that right now, the one announced primary challenger to Jeff Flake is a woman named what, Kelly Ward, whose primary claim to fame is that she challenged John McCain last time through and lost her ass. But along the way, she also has a thing for chemtrails. Good for her. But no. And of course, there was a Twitter war. There was a Twitter war this morning between Bob Corker and Tangerine Tiberius. Holy crap, really? Carol Baker pointing out that Jeff Flake endorsed her. The Democratic challenger will likely be Kyrsten Sinema. No wild-eyed liberal, she. And for the most part, probably not likely to not likely to succeed, because you know the Republican Party. Look, there's more than as long as Jeff Flake was the incumbent, none of the other in office Republicans were going to challenge him. But now that he's not. Oh, I'd look for Trent Franks to jump into that race, you know, probably 15 minutes ago. Labor man with a good question. Bob, why didn't Flake say Scrump as a POS for trashing a Congress critter and a Gold Star widow? No, he was as silent as a graven image on that, too. Ay, ay, ay. So that's I thought I had Titanic Tuesday pretty well lined out until that came along. Because after Sylvia's note, I wanted to make sure that maybe we came back this evening with some un-Trumpy stuff, to the extent that anything going on in this country is un-Trumpy. frankly, I'm of the opinion that just about all the nastiness in this country that you can point to is actually, you know, just a little electron out there zipping around the nucleus that is the radioactive nucleus that is Trump. But, you know, we can try. And so, you know, a couple of things popped up. Yeah, one of which has to do with a race that I'm following fairly closely. Namely, the Senate race in Alabama. And this one's a doozy. We all know who and what Roy Tolamore is. Awful, for starters. You got to say that about anybody who's been removed from office as a judge, not once, but twice, for flouting the actual law that he is oath-bound to uphold. But now that he is the official GOP nominee for the Senate seat left vacant by the exodus of United States Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, well, he becomes much more dangerous. This guy is such a fascist that he makes Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Steve Cantaloupe King look like moderates. It was a year or so ago when, out on the hustle, and everything he does, he's raised countless untold goddamn gazillions. On the backs of gay people and hating gay people and leveraging the hate of others for gay people. And so he has to constantly feed them red meat. And a little less than a year ago, he gave a podcast interview in which he waxed, well, not eloquent. He waxed bigoted. Again, get the hockey puck and the duct tape. On this podcast, he said the following. Yes, there will be a stupid cornpone accent, but the words are his. In 1857... the United States Supreme Court did rule that black people were property. Of course, that contradicted the Constitution, and it took a civil war to overturn it.
What, Edith, huh?
He's talking about Dred Scott. It did not take a civil war to overturn the Dred Scott decision, and there's nobody in their right mind who thinks that Roy Moore actually believes Dred Scott was improperly decided. And the Civil War did not overturn Dred Scott, at least not on a constitutional basis. had the Civil War ended and the 12th, 13th, and 14th Amendments not been ratified, there would have been only the meagerest de facto eliminations of slavery. And even with, as we know from history, even with those the ratification of those amendments, slavery was changed from de jure to, you know, de facto. Here's the hockey puck part. In 1857, the United States Supreme Court did rule that black people were property. Of course, that contradicted the Constitution, and it took a civil war to overturn it. By the way, the Constitution's the one with the three-fifths clause in it, where for purposes of population apportionment, slaves were created, were deemed to be three-fifths of a human being, so that there would be enough population in the southern states to balance out against the free population in the north, which was significantly more populated. But this ruling in Obergefell, oh dear, you know, the Supreme Court ruling that legalized marriage equality, or acknowledged marriage equality, really. This ruling in Obergefell is even worse, in a sense, because it forces not only people to recognize marriage other than the institution ordained of God and recognized by nearly every state in the Union, it says that you now must do away with the definition of marriage and make it between two persons of the same gender, or leading on, as one of the dissenting justices said, to polygamy, to multi-partner marriages. Well, at least he didn't go full Santorum. And, you know, get to the doggy part. But he said, no, he said, really, he said that acknowledging that the Constitution permits two people of the same gender to marry is worse than Justice Taney's decision in 1857 in Dred Scott that said that people with dark skin color were property. He said that. I just read you the quote. He wasn't done, though. He went on. We've got to go back and recognize that what they did in Obergefell was not only to take and create a right that does not exist under the Constitution, but then to mandate that that right compels Christians to give up their religious freedom and liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. That's a hell of a twofer. If that quote is not enough to get every person of color and every member of the LGBTQQQ community in the state of Alabama out to the polls, not just walking, but damned well sprinting on December the 12th, I don't know what is. And while we're at it, if that quote is not enough to get the national structure of liberal, progressive, democratic organizations, whether it be the DNC or Move On or the Human Rights Campaign or the NAACP, hell, the ASPCA, into that fight with everything they've got, then, frankly, what will? What will? We had the for-profit media "oh my gosh, golly" treatment for Jeff Flake, and earlier today Bob Corker. But this almost year-old quote, and frankly, the campaign of Doug Jones, while it is getting some traction, is not getting nearly the attention that it deserves. I mean, I've seen Ralph Northam on various and sundry news programs talking about how desperate it is, desperately important it is, that the governorship of the Commonwealth of Old Virginia remain in Democratic hands. But my God, Jeff Flake wants to talk about the coarsening of our, but see, he's no friend to gay people, and he's not particularly fond of black folks either. Doug Jones ought to be a guest. He ought to be on the TV or radio somewhere every damn night between now and December 12th. Because this is going to be a watershed moment. Yes, the Virginia race comes around first. It comes around in November. You know, a week from, well, 2 weeks from tonight, as a matter of fact. But that's not going to be the bellwether that the Roy Tolamore election is. If you want a measure of what to expect in 2018, take that temperature in Alabama. Not Virginia. Alabama. And I have, you know, I have no ability to make any organization do anything. Now, with our combined voices and reaching out and telling people that, it, you know, like the DSCC, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, telling them that you want their you want them to get off their asses and get actively involved in that campaign. Yeah, that might make a difference. But if we just remain supine and assume that a man who won his runoff with 7.5% of the registered voters in the state of Alabama, if we just assume that he's going to be the winner, or conversely, if we just assume that people are, well, hell no, of course not, and the Southern Baptists are going to suddenly have a great come to Jesus moment of conscience in which they realize that that man is pure poison, well, then we're engaged in a great deal of self-delusion. Campaigns are won by hard work. Campaigns are won by hard work coupled with coalition building. There is not one single group of Democratic voters in Alabama who can pull this off. The community of color has to be involved. The community of labor has to be involved. The community of the LGBTQQQQ community has to be involved. The environmentalists have to be involved. Because without that coalition, it's not going to happen. Or at least that's my thought. A note coming from Ron and Raleigh. I guess you heard, Bob, speaking of not running, our minds can be put to rest because that melody-stealing rock and roll hack Kid Rock has decided not to run for the Senate seat in Michigan. He did say that he met with Dolt 45, and he said that he was the shit. He and the Nuge had a photo op with Marmalade Mugabe. what we have with those guys together is a touring band, the Shit and the Shitheads. Ain't that the truth? So, well, that's one fight we don't have to fight. Yay. Well, how about that? Charlie in Tennessee says, looks like me and the Horn share a common birthday. I turned 63 today, and the Horn is 11. No, 12. We're 12. Happy birthday, Charlie. David writes in, on your 12th anniversary, I can hear you well. Thanks so much for 12 great years. May you broadcast for many, many more. You've helped me tremendously. Thank you, David. Thank you very kindly. James says, come on, Bob. Flakes on team cut and run. That's us. Meanwhile, Marty says, I'm certain Roy Moore meant to say the Loving decision, not Obergefell. Either that or he intends to go after Loving later. Don't be surprised. And there we have it. Courtesy of Sister Carol Baker. Decisions are made by people who show up. Moore's pretty icky, and he's beatable. It sure would be nice if we could get people to show up. And I'm not saying that effort isn't being made. It just needs to be made stronger. Roy Tola Moore doesn't need to lose in a squeaker. Roy Tola Moore needs to be politically buried so that he will never come back again. There needs to be a dump truck full of garlic put on top of him to keep him down there. Let him go off and rant about the homosexuals are getting married all he wants. But don't ever let him get near the exercise of power ever again. Clarence noting, Flake's a phony. Don't forget the Native Americans' sacred land battle. McCain and Flake stole and sold. That too! Oh yeah, that too. Meanwhile, from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, same old shit. Property is the eternal curse of our civilization. Everything you're essaying right now is about property. Who owns it? Who trespasses it? Who's hired to kill for it? Even the Second Amendment amounts to no more than an elaboration on what constitutes property and to what lengths a people will go in order to secure and kill for it. Property is land and freedom and slavery and living on rotting flesh. Welcome to the final stage of property. The corporate state owns it. The common weal and all its prosperity is for naught. Ask yourself, how much of it do you own, and how willing are you to shed more blood for a share of it? Give it up for real, or be damned. Not that I'm preaching, of course. Regards, Steve, on the Gulf Coast. And as we approach the end of this evening's filibuster, a bit of verse. Every now and then I get a little bit of poetry in the inbox. It's always fun. And this is in the way of very nearly Dr. Seuss. Subject line, last night's show. I do not like the way you talk, from this country I once run, not walk. I do not like this 45, whose action could make all of us die. I do not like the fear of being sick, which many times means a GoFundMe page we must pick. I do not like the direction in which we head, with so many cheering a man with a damaged head. I do not like the citizens too lazy to stand up, stay put, and remove a leader who's crazy. I do not like to cling to my dwindling hope that America will wake and purge this dope. I do not like he didn't win fair or square. My fondest wish is the Dems would care. I do not like this constant feeling of scorn. So I continue to listen to the horn. Matt in San Francisco. Thank you, Matt. And so, yeah, that's at least the front end of the filibobster. God knows we always have more to go into. But note, in her note yesterday evening, Sylvia said she wants more caller time. And I was tickled pink to have a brand new first time caller last night and hung like Jesus. Want to give it a try? Maybe you haven't called in a while. It's anniversary night. Shucks, we can reminisce and sit in the rocking chair on the porch and talk about the old days. If we wish. Jump in. You know how to reach the program, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, or from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn gets you into the program. Email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter, @BobKincaid, on Facebook, Bob Kincaid. There are oodles of different ways to participate in the program, and you can choose whichever one you prefer. What's that? Note from Steve from Georgistan, take your victories where you can get them. Flakes, epiphany, or whatever you want to call it, is another vote against the idiotic tax plan. It's dead in the water now. That counts for something. I didn't notice him saying that it was. I didn't notice him saying that he was going to vote against anything Trump wanted or vote against the majority for the remainder of his term. And that's the problem with the flakes and the corkers. They're bearding the wounded lion. But by God, they were more than happy to enable any damn thing that Clementine Caligula wanted. And may yet. I mean, when did Jeff Flake have this epiphany? He obviously didn't have it before he was voting to take health care away from tens of millions of American citizens. So the great light in the sky just shone on him on the road to Damascus, what, day before yesterday? Yesterday? Today? When? Not gooning on you, Steve. But as that book is noted for saying in the book of James, faith without works is dead. Now, had Jeff Flake or Bob Corker or both of them come out and said, listen, and you know, Corker is playing footsie with it, but he hasn't quite found the guts to say it out loud because he's scared. And I understand why he's scared, but sometimes you just do things that are a little bit scary. Corker is saying that Trump, you know, the adult daycare line, all right? that means that Trump is not okay. But there are moments when you cannot rely on allusion. You cannot rely on metaphor or simile. In a constitutional crisis, you have to say what will make it better. And if Jeff Flake and or Bob Corker say that Donald J. Trump, for the good of the republic, must be peacefully and lawfully removed from office, I will immediately become a member of the Jeff Flake and or Bob Corker fan club. Hell, if they even start by saying they regret every time they voted for one of his goddamn crazy-ass cabinet nominees, that'll be a start. But I'm disgusted, I quit. Did Lewis and Clark quit when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Did Paul Revere quit when Robert E. Lee landed in Lexington and Concord? Did he? Huh? Silent R. Lamar says it's a little late for them to be sorry for what they've done. True that. And this so-called tax reform, if it's dead, I hope it is. I hope you're right, Steve. But where vampires are concerned, I like to see wooden stakes sticking out of chests, and I like to see garlic necklaces hanging around vampire necks. I don't mean to be cynical. It is the product of long, hard lesson learning. So I guess we'll wait and see. Okay. It's a Tuesday. That means we've got the Green News Report coming up. With Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And after that, your calls. Yeah, it's a nice sentiment, Asa. Asa says, I'd like to hereby conjure the ghost of Mr. Stress to call in on this 12th anniversary. God knows I miss him. I do, too. I can only imagine what these 10 months so far would have been like with Bill Miller looking at them and talking about them. On this 12th anniversary, there are a lot of voices I'd like to hear again. Several of them are gone, and we remember them on such a day as this. Yeah, that too, Flavio. Flavio says, a silver bullet? No, that's for werewolves, not vampires. Sorry. Look, make no assumptions. Use them all. Water, crosses, fire, silver bullets. 220, 225, whatever it takes. Right? All right, then. Break time. And then we'll be back. This is listener-supported conversation radio on the first day of our 13th year of broadcasting. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tuesday, October 24, 2017.
It shocked all of us when we saw the numbers.
New report finds pollution kills more people every year than war, disaster, or hunger.
Do you agree that the president's response and his administration's has been a 10?
Well, if it is a 10 out of a scale of 100, of course.
Senate to vote on disaster relief for hurricane victims, EPA censoring climate science, and government scientists. Plus, it's the hottest World Series in professional baseball history. Literally.
Oh, fantastic. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Coal-fired power plants cause terrible air pollution.
Stop! Air pollution is a myth, like asthma. Some kids just cough more.
Sign that man up for the Trump administration. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, it is late October. It sure as hell doesn't feel like it out here in Southern California.
No, certainly not. And that means that Game 1 of the World Series starts in Los Angeles on Tuesday during a record-breaking heat wave with temperatures around 100 degrees in late October. This will indeed be the hottest World Series in history.
It actually reached 101 this week in Los Angeles, again, in late October.
Yeah, we can't really say that enough, can we?
Not that anybody cares.
In Puerto Rico, more than a month after Hurricane Maria hit, 30% of the island still lacks clean drinking water, and 80% of the island remains without electricity. The U.S. Senate is scheduled to vote on a $36 billion disaster relief funding package this week that already passed the House. More than half of that will go to FEMA to deal with the multiple simultaneous extreme weather disasters that have hit the United States.
And is it nearly enough?
No, it's certainly is not. Congressional Republican leadership, however, has promised additional future aid bills. Senate Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Monday called on President Trump to appoint an official disaster response and recovery coordinator, granted the authority to bring all federal agencies together to oversee federal disaster response efforts.
I thought that's what FEMA was supposed to do. I thought that's what the Department of Homeland Security was supposed to do when FEMA came under it. I thought that's what the president was supposed to do when he oversaw the Department of Homeland Security. Turns out, lights on, Nobody's home.
In an interview on the broadcast, former Puerto Rican Energy Commissioner and current United Nations climate policy consultant Ramon Cruz warned that rebuilding Puerto Rico's electric grid is a very complex undertaking, vulnerable to vultures seeking to take advantage of billions in federal aid dollars. Cruz also warned mainland Americans to push their own elected representatives to do more to prepare climate disaster adaptation plans.
Everywhere in the coast, everywhere that is vulnerable to climate change, to global warming, there should be a plan for how to deal with essential infrastructure.
Well, of course they should have such plans, but this administration can't even get through a single disaster in Puerto Rico. You expect them to plan for the next one?
Meanwhile, pollution kills more people every year than war, disaster, or hunger. That's the conclusion of a new study published in the medical journal Lancet that found that in 2015, at least 9 million people around the world died prematurely due to exposure to toxic pollution caused by fossil fuels and industrial sources, especially in developing economies with lax environmental regulations. The researchers warn the actual number of deaths is likely much higher, and noted that pollution is also expensive. Polluting industries don't pay for the higher health care costs that they cause, and as co-author Dr. Richard Fuller noted in The Guardian, quote, what people don't realize is that pollution does damage to economies. People who are sick or dead cannot contribute to an economy.
Why do you hate jobs, Desi Doyen?
Meanwhile, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt is ratcheting up censorship of science and EPA scientists, including the last-minute cancellation of the scheduled appearance of three EPA scientists who were set to present an EPA-funded report on climate change impacts on Monday at a conference partly funded by the EPA. Pruitt also indicated he plans to limit scientists who receive EPA research grants from participating on federal science advisory boards to avoid what he called potential conflicts of interest, but not scientists who are funded by industries that are regulated by the EPA. And in an apparent effort by the EPA to play down the threat of global warming, the agency has deleted even more climate science data from taxpayer-funded websites. That's according to a new analysis by the Environmental Data and Governance Initiative. They found that dozens of online climate resources have been taken down, including information intended to help state, local, and tribal governments prepare for the impacts of climate change. But Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel announced on Monday that now 17 cities around the U.S. have stepped in to act as repositories for much of the federal climate science data that Trump's EPA has removed.
For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Well, wasn't that a novel bumper? Well, well played, Brad and Desi. Well played indeed. 23 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, our 12th anniversary, the beginning of our 13th year of broadcasting. Thank you, Jim. Our buddy Jim says, hi, happy Horn birthday. You know, if I'm not mistaken, Jim may have been the very first caller to the program when we started this thing up in its online-only incarnation 12 years ago tonight. I know he was in amongst us. I know he was in amongst the callers for that evening. Asa pointing out something. Maybe people should call in with their favorite Horn memories. Mine goes all the way back to 2013 and your reaction to Brian Fisher's anoint your newly purchased used washer dryer with some oil. I still hurt when I remember how hard I was laughing. See, that's now, if there's a failing in these years, that's it. It would be nice to have a clip reel, but we don't. We've just got oodles and oodles and oodles of hours of broadcasting, and not even so much as a. And that's, you know, I guess that's well, it can't be anybody's failing but mine. But it's a failing, because sometimes I think about things and I would love to go back and find them, moments that were particularly delightful. I remember a. eons ago, I remember a lengthy conversation with our buddy Reverbo on the... I guess you could just file it under the history of Western civilization. But that was delightful. Or some of the freeform stuff with our buddy Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Some of the stuff with David from Maine. And I thought of that because of Ron and Raleigh writing in about Kid Rock not running. I remember when David from Maine turned us all on to, you know, that thing that made Kid Rock famous, that where he managed to both rip off Warren Zevon and Lynyrd Skynyrd at the same time. And I thought I was going to have a baby that night. Jesus God. There's a lot of stuff out there over a lot of years. But enough shilly-shallying about. Let's go check in with Clarity out in the Great Northwest, where it turns out, Clarity, you've got a guy who's downright nearly an Alabamian up there on a county government, right?
Yeah, he got 14 write-in votes.
Hoo-wee!
For a position that was, nobody signed up for it. And sure enough, he got in there, and boy, he likes to speak his mind and write to his constituents.
You want to go ahead and just lay out the backgrounder on this?
Well, what I gathered from the local paper and stuff, it was a city council meeting, and someone had called him out on his homophobia, and he considered it to be a time to really express his true thoughts, that if there was ever a mistake about how much he hated them and how much they should die of AIDS, and
did he really refer to HIV as anal insertion death serum?
Yes, those were his exact words.
I mean, I know those people exist all over the country, but really, when I see something like that, I expect to see comma Alabama, comma Mississippi, comma West Virginia, comma Kentucky. I guess you're helping me grow up a little bit, Clarity, and I'm being disabused of some of my fantasies about there being a whole enclaves of civilization somewhere else.
Well, I have two friends, one in California, one in Australia, who have offered me a place to live because they're worried about me getting, you know, tarred and feathered one of these days when I'm out by myself. And
not in a good way.
No, not the warm fuzzy.
not the pleasant feathers.
No, not the foam paws. No. Somebody commented that that kind of person is so homophobic that you can almost smell them because they're afraid to wash their ass.
Oh Jesus! Wait a minute. You get a full jingle. You get a full jingle for that one, Clarity.
Yeah, because they don't even want to get, you know, they don't want to go close down there because they might feel something and it might just, you know, turn on that gay gene, and next thing you know, they're on the cover of.
Well, right, because you know, soap slippery, and if you've washed down there, I mean, who knows what can happen.
Yeah.
7:29. The program's officially in the gutter for our 12th anniversary. I'm so glad it didn't. I'm so glad we got here when we did.
Maggots rush in where moderates fear to tread. But Trump pansies always fall in love with things that should be dead. Yeah, it's frightening. And somebody said that, PTSD is post-Trump stress disorder. And I've had it now for almost a year now. I haven't really felt much of anything besides, you know, the one day, oh, okay, they've turned away the Medicare abolishment people, you know. And then the next day it's like, well, we're not sure, and we're going to come up with the Graham Parsonage block grant system.
Wait, what did you say? The Graham Parsonage? Oh, that was particularly well and I won't say obscurely, but esoterically played.
Sometimes I have them.
I know.
The other thing that's ironic, though, Bob, is a local judge here in Oregon decide on the side of a prisoner, a female prisoner, transgender prisoner, who was denied hormones and counseling, and found that she had her civil rights abused, and ordered her a $187,000 settlement. Now, I know the right wing is just going to go ape shit about that. You know, giving those prisoners hormones.
Let me see. I'm getting a transmission through the fillings in my teeth. Goddamned activist liberal judges. There, is that what it's going to sound like?
Something like that. And then, of course, Oregon, you know, being that libtard state, and bitch governor, you know, bankrupting us because spending all this money on prisoners and transgenders and emergency programs that will actually help us prepare for the big earthquake.
Isn't it funny how Oregon's being bankrupted, but they used actual, no kidding, honest to God, Art Laffer's curve, the supply side trickle down voodoo economics there in Kansas, and they are bankrupt?
Well, and that's how I heard today that they're saying, well, maybe we can't afford to give the middle and lower income people a little bit more of a tax break because we've found some fiscal, you know, the fiscal outlook looks really good. You know, yeah, we've recalculated that algorithm, projected on a 14% increase in gross national product and stock market paybacks and collateral debt buyouts are way down.
and the share price of beefsteak mines has gone way up.
Yeah, I listen to Marketplace. I try to listen to it like once a week or every other week, just to see how, you know, the spin is, you know, about business world. And they had some guy on saying that collateralized debt obligations are not the same, you know, they're not the same bundling that we had with the bundled mortgages. It's not the same. And we just really don't appreciate being, you know, label is that, you know, it's a CDL, not CBL.
Well, you know? Then, I mean, you know, totally different consonant.
But, yeah.
I mean, backwards even, DB.
We bundle all the bad ones so that it all levels out, you know. It's the old walks in with $1,000 and the other nine people that are broke, they're all $100 heirs, you know.
It works because math. Oh, Jesus. You know, there's anytime Republicans start muttering that word budget, you know there's going to be a problem somewhere down the road. And one of those problems is they've got to come up with money in order to sort of fudge things around to make it almost look like it's not a complete sham, con, Carnival Midway, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, we're budget hawks.
guess where? I'm just making a prediction here. I've got my tattered purple robe with the moon and the stars and all of it. I predict that they're going to say that some of the magic money comes from all the revenue we're going to generate by opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling for oil. Let's everybody write this down. Bob predicted this on October the 24th, 2017 at 7:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Maybe it's not even a prediction. Maybe it's already out there and I just Maybe I've just sort of tapped into the zeitgeist again or something. But what do you want to bet?
Well, yeah, and the turnaround time about when this is, you know, if they start it today, how long it would take for them to get, you know, that infrastructure developed up there. And the thing that turned them around was, you know, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, when they had that drilling, that shell drilling rig that had to be.
Oh, you mean the one that slammed into the rocks?
Well, there was one that they dry docked in Portland, and then they protested long enough that they got out there too late to get it up to the northern slope. And then next thing you know, they're going, well, we're not going to do it. You know, yeah, so they were waiting for a change of administration, more or less. But, you know, they know that the geologists are saying that 20% of the oil reserves left on the planet are underneath the Arctic ice up there.
It wouldn't surprise
me.
So,
of course.
But guess who else apparently has a shitload of oil under them? Niger.
Oh, I thought it was just the yellow cake.
No, they've got gold and oil too. It's a trifecta.
Oh yeah, that's what the CIA runs on. Sad to say.
Of course, apparently the Chinese have locked up those oil rights, but that means we need to drill. That's just another reason we need to drill in the Anwar, and get all.
Of that.
Because remember, what was the number? There's something like 6 weeks of actual American hydrocarbon usage in all of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Oh, it's just not worth it. But it's funny, you know, that along the same environmental lines there, that they canceled those three scientists from speaking in
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, yeah. And I commented on Twitter that, hey, it looks like Stephen Harper's playbook is being used south of the, you know, border. And some Harper fan said, you know, my taxes haven't went up in 2 years. So he must have been okay. And I my comment back was, the permafrost didn't vote conservative.
Ain't that the truth? And whenever you say Stephen Harper to me, what I think about Clarity, I remember when the entire library of Canadian, archaeological research just got thrown in a dumpster, or was it climate research?
Well, they did kind of the same thing, that they had to go through another committee or whatever before they could have anything published or say anything to the press. So basically that it was a gag order done by administration, you know, administrative.
No, but there were physical publications that were dumpstered and ruined forever. That's just gone now.
Well, we're living in an age of erasure. You know, a lot of the hard stuff is being transferred over to digital storage, and well, you know, it's easier to shred it than to classify it and, you know, put it in permanent storage, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you got to have a building, and the building's got to have ventilation and heat and stuff and electricity, and knowledge isn't worth that much. Those are taxpayer dollars we're talking about there, Clarity.
But you know, it's.
But no, what you mentioned with Rhode Island is absolutely the truth. And I loved the EPA's response. Well, yes, it's true. The entire forum is funded by the EPA. We couldn't figure out a way to stop that. But it's not like, I mean, the scientists are going to be there. They're just going to be there with like a ring of duct tape around their mouth holes so that they can't speak or nothing and talk about the Chinese hoax. Beautiful, just beautiful.
Yeah, that's you know, it's a beautiful day here, and today
anything on fire?
No, I think they said that they just about mopped up the fire down in southwest Oregon. Finally had some rain. Well, we had flooding on the Oregon coast Saturday, fourth rainiest October day in history. So we get it in buckets when it comes. And whenever it rains like that, all the storm drains in Portland overflow and sewage, you know, raw sewage runs right into the Willamette. My favorite saying was, this woman is down at the waterfront park there, and the kids go, can we go down to the river? And the mother goes, yeah, but don't touch it.
Wait a minute. Okay. I'm sorry, that's not funny, but that's funny.
But, you know, Oregon gets a pass almost, you know, for being clean and green. I mean, we have a pretty strong DEQ on the other side of the mountains. They're not too good around here, you know, approving a 20,000, 30,000 head of dairy farm. I don't think that's a really good environmental thing. But
you don't have an old chemical complex on fire for 3 or 4 days, though, do you? Because see,
no, nothing like y'all do there.
Yeah, here in West Virginia, we do. And here's the best part of it. For 2 or 3 days, officials in Parkersburg, which is in Wood County, which I saw one press release today described as remote. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's on an interstate. Okay, Parkersburg is on an interstate by the Ohio River, approximately 4 hours south of Cleveland. Okay, it's at best 2 hours from Pittsburgh, but you know, Parkersburg's in a remote location, and the old Ames Tool Factory. It was being used as some sort of a warehouse. And, well, golly, we really don't know what was in the warehouse, but damned if it didn't catch fire. And it caught fire over the weekend, or actually maybe on Friday, and people kept trying to get hold of Governor Justice, you know, he who was a Republican and then turned into a Democrat at the urging of Joe Manchin and then made Joe Manchin look like a damn fool by turning back into a Republican again. And I don't know, maybe he was counting his money or out shucking corn from one of his many corn farms or something, but nobody could reach him. But he did finally get around to declaring Wood County a disaster area. But, you know, huge, huge, oily, black, viscous, nasty clouds of chemical-laden God knows what has been blanketing the city. It's a city, okay? I mean, it's Parkersburg. It's not like, you know, the little town of 500 that I live near. I mean, there are thousands of people, you know, real high schools and stuff and libraries and a mall even. And they've had to close the schools. And nobody really knows, well, you know, it's kind of like the Freedom disaster. Are we being poisoned? Well, if you are, thank God you're an American. That's freedom you're breathing there, bub.
Well, that's a big city problem. We just got short-term big city problem, but it's not a big city problem like big cities have.
Yeah, no, Jesus, God, it's crazy, and people really are kind of flipping out a little bit about it. I mean, I know it's serious when I start getting. When I start getting press releases from a PR outfit in Washington, D.C. about a fire in West Virginia.
Yeah.
It's astonishing. It was yesterday when Justice declared the state of emergency. They'd been trying to find him for days. The schools are shut down. Residents are being handed protective respiratory face masks, you know, like they ought to pass out everywhere that mountaintop removal is going on in southern West Virginia and generally in central Appalachia. People are being told, just stay inside, close your windows.
Yeah.
You know, that Don Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney duct tape and plastic, it might come in handy about now.
Yeah.
And of course, the winds are picking up, and the flames are sort of, you know, disseminating the toxic smoke, and
yeah,
it's getting all over.
Well, and speaking of fires, as they're mopping up things in Northern California, come to find out that the wine growers had all their workers out there picking grapes all the way through the fire, and a lot of them weren't even giving them, you know, respirators. They had bandanas wrapped around their faces as if that's going to help, you know. Yeah. And then Palin and somebody else started a rumor that some illegal alien was an arsonist and started all those fires when it was PGA's power lines, it's looking like, you know, where they didn't keep the brush cleared out. And when the winds knocked down, everything caught on fire. So I guess it's, you know, deflect and blame the people who don't have a voice down there.
Well, of course, if they were meant to have a voice, by God, they'd have one. And they'd have a lot of money to go with their voice. Because, of course, money is speech now. And if you don't have any money, you know, you're Helen Keller.
But even the N95 masks need to be replaced every 3 or 4 hours when you're out into heavy particulates. And if there's gases and stuff, you should be wearing a P100 or a respirator mask. And none of those places had them, or if they have them, you know, they didn't have enough to pass out.
Right, and in Parkersburg, people are being taken to the emergency room because they're sick. And the illnesses are being described as severe. But when I first saw the story break, I thought, I wonder what kind of job killing regulation got eliminated to make sure this happened.
Well, the spin I saw, and I don't know if you saw it too, was that place was closed down after they broke the union.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
And they probably didn't get enough return from just breaking the union, they, you know, and moving the plant or whatever they did. So they were looking for some insurance.
Well, we got a term for that around here. Clarity, that's called State Farm Latin.
State Farm Latin. I like that.
You say that like you're from here.
Well, I have family from the deep Bible-beaten paradise. That's why I appreciate your Wednesday shows, because it's almost like old home week.
if that was the case, I'd never go home, Clarity.
Well, that's just it. That's how I get along with my in-laws, my mom's side of the family. They're all at least 2,500 miles away from me.
That distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah. Well, that's very true, you know. Some in Alabama, most in Florida, and you know, they were saying how God is great because, you know, they didn't get hit by the hurricane. It's like,
right, it hit somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of which, did you see the story about the itsy bitsy little teeny tiny little electric utility in Montana that just happens to be in the hometown of the Interior Secretary? That just happened to get a $300 million contract to restore electricity to Puerto Rico, and they don't even have they don't have more than 2 employees.
Yeehaw! We hit the FEMA lottery. Yeehaw!
Come on, load up the Winnebago, Ma. We're driving to Puerto Rico.
We can buy all the folks in Whitefish some beer.
And some whitefish, if it ain't been poisoned yet.
Well, we know it's white. We know it's that. Zinky.
Whitefish matter.
Zinky's taking care of his folks.
Yeah, is that what we're calling it these days? Yeah, just, you know, it's all the Godfather. You know, he's just getting his beak. They're in Whitefish. They're just getting their beak wet.
Well, you know, it's a small business. You're helping out the small business. We ain't just helping out the Koch brothers and the Mercers and the you know, the Ted Cruz's. We're helping out the little guy, giving him a leg up.
$300 million worth of leg. That's a lot of
leg.
Yeah,
well, you know, we got rid of all those, that minority content laws even while Obama was still president, didn't we? You know, the EEOC and the...
Well, who was it back during the Second World War insured her legs for $1 million? Was that Betty Grable or something? These are some serious legs in Whitefish.
I tell you.
$300 million.
The only place they could hardly... I guess they could have picked a contractor in Hawaii or something, but then again, you know, Hawaii's...
Well, they don't have your experience stringing electricity to remote mountainous regions. You know, if that was the case, why didn't they hire Appalachian Power?
Yeah, Frontier.
Oh, please, God, don't let them call on Frontier to restore internet service to Puerto Rico. Please, God, yeah, I like Puerto Rico. We won't hear from them for another 100 years if Frontier fixes their internet.
Well, I'm surprised that one of those pendejo GOP congressmen haven't said, well, it rains in Puerto Rico almost every day. They should have plenty of water to drink.
Yeah, especially out of the Superfund sites.
Oh, Vieques? Oh, my God.
No, not just Vieques. More than that. You know, so-called mainland Puerto Rico. They're drinking out of wells on a Superfund site, and they sent a fella down, a scientist from Virginia Tech. By the way, did you know Virginia Tech is the home of the Ares program? That's the program the coal industry funded to the tune of about $11 million to pump out press releases masquerading as science, saying there ain't a damn thing wrong with them people in Appalachia that they don't bring on themselves with all their smoking and incesting. That Virginia Tech. Well, a Virginia Tech scientist was sent down to Puerto Rico to test that Superfund water, and he said, well, this is some mighty fine water we got here.
Ain't a bit of coal dust in it.
No, hell no. I had me some bourbon with that well water. It was right tasty.
It's free range.
Gluten-free.
God.
I got to stop doing that. I'm not trying to be mean with that, but everything, you know, I think I was in a cooking, like a, you know, a kitchen supply store, and I found a gluten-free iron skillet the other day. God damn.
You can never be too sure that you're not, you know, going to give your potluck guests a bunch of cramps cooking on the wrong cookware.
There you go. And we managed to work the word cramps into the program this evening. Nicely done, Clarity. Nicely.
Cramps and nausea are the symptoms of a highly sensitive individual in an age of unsensitive rulers. How's that?
That's downright philosophical.
And I hope your pinched nerve finds some relief. I don't know what to say to you, Bob, because I've had some of that stuff, but not all of it, and I don't think it's ever gone as long as yours has been going.
Well, this is probably an outgrowth of what's been going on for years now, but I've never had it quite like this, where it sent just. I feel like this. It feels like I'm walking around with. It's like a Monty Python sketch or something. I feel like I've got a knife in my arm.
That's what an impingement feels like.
Yeah, just about an inch south of my elbow. And it sucks a lot. And it starts up in my neck, and you know, it's...
Oh, yeah. It's that C6, C8.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's like in those loops, which is not a good thing, because I think my bum C's are up around C4, C5, so this might be something new and, you know, new and exciting.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that maybe CBD would be some relief, but I got a note from David earlier, he wasn't trying to throw cold water on it or anything, but... He said, "No, it hadn't been it hadn't been quite the relief that he was hoping for."
You probably need some traction or something to just to let the pressure off at the neck area.
Yeah, he said it did. CBD did no more for me than a teaspoon of tap water. Tried it several times, hoping that it would help, but it didn't. Traction or I don't know, a Thorazine dart in the neck maybe, and that might solve a lot of other problems too. I mean, we have to admit.
dart that progressive talk show host.
Well, you know, right? I get a little bit off the beaten path, and you know, Agnes is there with the blowgun, and all I hear is. And the next thing I know, I'm just feeling all calm. You know, sort of laying in a puddle, you know, under the desk. It's good. It's good relief. It really is. It really is. Clarity, it's been a lovely conversation. I hope you have a wonderful
evening.
Yes, and
I didn't really hear much about your grandkids. You don't speak much of them, but I was just curious to see what they think about your annex.
Oh, you know, I'm just OPA to them. We had a lovely day on Friday evening, and then even more so on Saturday on Bridge Day. They climbed the rock wall and they ate carnival type food, and that night they went bowling, and we had a grand time. It was it's sweet to be around them, and it's.
But
just,
you don't do too much of this theater of the mind with them though.
You know, a little bit, but I figure they're not quite ready for it. I'm gonna let them enjoy. Their,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna let them enjoy.
Yeah,
their...
don't make them grow up too fast.
Right. No, I haven't gotten around to giving them, you know, the talk yet. You know, the talk. Never vote Republican. Stay out of church. That kind of thing, because well. We don't necessarily want them going to school and sharing that kind of information.
Yeah, the John Birch Society will be coming to visit you.
Well, I just have to kind of be aware of, you know, where they live, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You want them to be able to live in peace without, you know, and freedom of association as long as nobody knows that they're your associates.
Exactly.
Well, bless you, Bob. Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Clarity. You take care. Bye now. And that's the one and only Clarity calling from the Great Northwest. Okay, let's see what else is going on. Yeah, welcome to the program. Yeah, I got the right button. And okay. Do we do this again? All right, try again. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Charlie in Tennessee.
Yeah, I thought that was you, Charlie.
Yeah, I picked up a copy of the Tennessean this weekend, and our dear old member of the United States House of Representatives here in Tennessee, Diane Black, she wants it to make it legal for you to go to the emergency room, and if the doctor doesn't feel like treating you, he can just tell you to go home, that there's nothing he can do.
Especially if it's because you're some sort of religious heathen. Isn't there something to do with that?
No.
This is just more of the secular approach. I don't wanna.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, you're spending too much tax money. You ever heard of the term Gomer? When the arrogant pieces of crap that are medical doctors say, "Get out of my emergency room," like they have title to the emergency room.
I've learned a new word this evening.
And basically, that's what it is. If the emergency room doctor doesn't want to treat you, they can tell you to go on home and see your regular doctor if they don't feel like there's anything they can do for you.
Well, you know, at most, an emergency room doesn't have to do anything but stabilize you anyway.
Yeah. Well.
But she's a piece of
work. I don't know.
She and Marsha, are in constant competition to see who can be the most miserable, heartless, idiotic, right-wing tool among the two, and it remains on an ordinary day. It's pretty close competition.
Well, you got to remember, Diane Black is a registered nurse.
I didn't know that.
So, yes, she is. And
almost makes in a way, it almost makes me glad she's a member of Congress, because that way she can't, you know, hurt any people in hurt anybody, you know, in a hospital situation.
Yeah, it was in the Friday, and it also appeared in the Saturday edition of the Tennessean. It made the front page. And basically, if she just feels like that there's too many people that are wasting too much money going to emergency rooms, so the doctor should be able to turn them away. Now, I would venture to say that probably whenever they turn you away, it's not going to be like you don't owe anything. You're probably going to have to pay them to turn you away.
Oh, absolutely. If there's a dollar floating around out there, they'll find it.
And, you know, it surprised me that she had stooped that low, especially since she's a registered nurse. And,
well, when it comes to Republicans, when they stoop low, nothing surprises me.
Yeah. Well, I'll get off here. I just wanted to make you aware of that. You may want to pick up or go on the internet and look at the Tennessean from this past weekend, and you'll find it on the front page.
I will. I think I had seen some mention of it, but I didn't get into the meat of it. But why am I not surprised? You know, that's some conservatism, that compassionate conservatism.
And you got to remember, I was just turned away with a broken back.
That's absolutely true. And a very happy birthday to you, by the way.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right, Charlie.
And I'm sorry?
No, okay. No. I was just going to say you have yourself a wonderful evening and get to celebrating.
Okie doke. Catch you later. All Thanks right. a lot.
Later, Charlie. Bye now. Buddy Charlie calling from Tennessee. Yeah, that's another thing. In the wake of the heroic speech of George W. Bush, in which he couldn't quite find the courage to actually say Donald Trump's name in the midst of all of his complaining about the coarsening of our political political culture. Now I guess this is the time of the rehabilitation of Bush. I saw the Bush twins on MSNBC earlier today talking about how what a wonderful, wonderful man he is. You know what I mean? It's a little kind of, it was a little, well, more than a little bit gross. Ron and Raleigh with a note. You know, oh, this is inspiring. We had a jingle for this. You know, Bob, even Dr. Mengele had a nurse. Hey, that's real cold. Okay, let's keep it going. Hey, welcome to the program. Okay, no. Okay, all right. Hey, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the audio down, please.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a little... Yes, sir.
There I am.
Just like a good buddy. Listen, happy birthday to you. I can't believe it's been 12 years.
It kind of blows my mind.
Time does go by when you're having fun. By the way, I sent you a little email. I don't know if you got my little ditty.
I did. You mean Trumps do it, thieves do it, even idiots do it, let's fall in line?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, by the way, back on the October 14th, I forgot to even mention the fact that it was the anniversary of Cole Porter's death.
No, I didn't realize that. I did recognize that. I did, however, recognize that as a take on Cole Porter.
Well, I don't think coal would mind. But anyway,
I was just kind of... Jim, I'm not trying to be cantankerous, but the audio is still up there, and it confuses me something fierce.
Well, that's the state of my life. Is that better?
Yeah, if it's gone, it's great.
It's gone. It's gone. It's gone.
Yay.
Anyway, like I say, you have been the entire gamut, the entire tour de raison of everything over the past 12 years. And you and I have had our ups and downs, but we've always come back to at least talk, and that's one of the great things about, you know, this program.
Well, it has been, we've gone at one another from time to time. But it's one of the great privileges that attends me getting to do this, the wonderful people that I've gotten to know and converse with over the years. It has certainly made me a better person.
But you know, I tell you, Bob, except for those bucks and dollars in the hospital, I've listened to your program whenever it's been available, except during, you know, the derecho and other things, every night.
I know. And of course, during the derecho, it was impossible to listen to this program because this program didn't exist.
Oh, Lord, that was a horror. But you know, through all the travails, you know, you've come through it, and, you know, you've been up there trying to do a lot of good things with your ACAC, and I hope that's been successful, and or will be successful.
Well, we're still pounding away at it. I'll probably be back in D.C. next month at some point, so.
Well, I hope that tree bears good fruit.
People say things, and I understand it comes from a place of concern. And they talk about the futility of it, but like I've said before, Jim, we know that the odds are long right now with the Congress the way it is, and God knows the White House the way it is. We know that the odds are long, but the one sure thing that we know is that if we don't do the work, the odds aren't long anymore. The odds are non-existent.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
And, you know, a long time ago, you talked about the fact that the wheels grind exceeding slow, but they grind exceeding fine. There is no better place than the halls of Congress to learn the truth of that maxim.
Well, you got it there. And, you know, pursuant to your efforts, like I told you one time before, enough water when it rolls across a stone will cause it to erode.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's why we continue to do what we continue to do. What's going on right now with the suppression of this review of the mountaintop removal health data is cynical and mean-spirited. And
I don't know anything about that.
Well, you know, the Department of Interior quashed the National Academy of Sciences review of the more than two dozen peer-reviewed journal articles because the National Academy of Sciences was getting, as far as the coal industry and their pet politicians were concerned, perilously close to saying that, yes, the coal industry is once again poisoning people to, you know, for their profits. And so they had to suppress it. And you can't just take something like that lying down. You've got to raise hell about it.
Well, you're right there. I didn't know that I have been following it that closely. I have had so many other things going on, but, you know, nothing these people do surprises me at all. I mean, when I heard Senator Flake come on TV this afternoon, it was like he had just, I will say that the man did sound sincere. And it was in his way an effort to expiate his past sins, or could it be the fact that he didn't have a chance in Arizona of being reelected?
Well, his approval rating was hovering somewhere around 18%. So there's that.
Yeah. So he's realizing.
But secondarily, I guess you could if you were to use a classical analogy, you might say that this was a Parthian shot. And I know you know what a Parthian shot is. I do. It's delivered backwards as you're riding away.
I do.
But the thing is, it was a Parthian shot with a Nerf gun. Okay, because it doesn't come with anything. You've got to make deeds match words. You need some do to go with the say. And as far as I can tell, be it Bob Corker or Jeff Flake, there's none of that.
Those guys, Bannon, are just two more scalps, as he said. That's all it represents to him. And that's exactly how Trump's probably feeling it, too. Well, I'll get rid of two more meddlesome priests, and I won't have to have my knights go stab them in Canterbury to do it.
Yeah, and you know, you'd like to think that, this makes things considerably different for the Democrats in 2018. And yeah, when we started talking about the 2018 elections in the House and the Senate, I said, you know, there's a vague possibility we could retake the House, but the Senate was a non-starter just because the states where somebody was up for re-election as a Republican, and there's only nine of them, were just lead pipe cinch, locked down, no way, no how. Well, that's changing. Dean Heller's vulnerable in Nevada, and now, lo and behold, if the Democrats could actually get their act together and unify and form the coalition it takes to keep, you know, a religious maniac out of the Senate in the form of Roy Tolamore, it could happen. It could happen. And now, because I am a member of the High Priesthood of the Goddess of Irony, Jim, I've come to a realization. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could, if the Democrats could, pick off three Republican senators and then Joe Manchin lost?
Oh, just hush. Just hush. I mean,
Because West Virginia will find a way to screw not only itself, but this country.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, you know, I would like to say more than just thoughts and prayers that that would happen. I just don't see why Manchin just doesn't switch parties and just be done with it. I don't know why he stays a Democrat.
Well, you know, for the same reason that, say, Justice Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court doesn't just go whole hog and side with the Roberts majority. He likes the attention he gets, okay? By being somebody that neither side can count on, Joe Manchin gets fawned over. And Joe Manchin's the kind of guy who likes to be fawned over.
And who does that remind you of?
You tell me.
Well,
I mean, I'm thinking of Joe Manchin lying on a lounge with the uraeus and the flail and saying, you know, the Pharaoh desires another grape. Peel me another grape. But that's me.
Yeah. Blanche Manchin.
Yes.
I don't know how you came up with that name. I wish you'd tell me sometime.
Oh, I absolutely will. Back when Blanche Lincoln was still a senator from Arkansas and could reliably be counted on as a Democrat to screw anything that the Democrats wanted to do, I used to say that Joe Manchin was Blanche Lincoln with better hair. And thus was born the idea of Blanche Manchin.
I think I must have missed that one. That God only knows what.
But you can't say Blanche without there being an automatic sort of back reference to a streetcar named Desire while you're at it.
Yes,
I have always depended upon the kindness of coal companies.
You know, I saw that the other night with Vivian Leigh and Marlon Brando and I can't think of it. And Carl Malden.
Oh, Carl Malden was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll tell you, Tennessee Williams, certainly. What an incredible mind.
Oh. He was one of the people that was on my mind as Agnes and I were wandering around the streets of the quarter for those couple of days we spent in New Orleans last August. And in that funky atmosphere, God only knew, with the genius that he had.
Oh,
please. Yeah. But, back in my doing theater days, I never wanted to play Stanley in Streetcar Named Desire because I just didn't have the force of personality and the voice to yell Stellar. No, I was
Stella.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. Wait a minute. That was a very good Marlon Brando, Jim. I didn't know you had it in you. I always wanted to play that to play that Carl Malden role. I thought that was a great character role.
It was. And, you know, when Vivian Leigh did Blanche DuBois, I think that was her name. And I have never felt, I don't know, that play has, her role in that play has really just, it tore me apart. It really did. And it just proved to me what a wonderful actress she was.
Well, yeah, and it's a goddamn devastating story.
Oh, it is, and you know, it's just, it's basically written, I think, out of a lot of experiences that Tennessee Williams went through, you know, and people that he knew, and experiences he had.
I wouldn't be surprised, of course. I was talking to Ferg the other day because I try to, we're still working on making a Renaissance man out of him, and
okay,
I was telling him that, you know, every story in Western literature, I don't know what you can say about, the literature of the East, but every story in Western literature was told inside either the Iliad or the Odyssey. And in many ways, Streetcar Named Desire is actually the story of Achilles running away with the priestess of Athena. But it's all there. It's all right there. It's all right there in the Iliad. And that's just one of those me wandering off into the classical weeds moments. But
is that after he had had the heel spur?
No, Donald Trump had the heel spur, Jim.
Well, I was trying to get that. Honest to God, I tell you, I don't know. When I saw these two guys sort of expiate their sins and realize they didn't have a chance, they better get out while the getting was good. But like I say, what will they do in the remaining 14 months they have? I assume they're both up for election at the same time.
They are, and you know what? I'm willing to I'm willing to withdraw my former critique, Jim. If one or both of them stand up and say, you know, enough of this kabuki language, the guy's got to go. He's got to be removed from office for the good of the republic. Then everything changes. But they've got to make the deeds fit the actions fit the words or whatever before I'm willing to do that. Because yelling "you're a poopy head" while you're running off the playground doesn't count for heroism with me.
No, you're right. Absolutely not. It doesn't. We'll just have to see what happens. And I know you got a lot of people you want to talk to at your anniversary, but this is something I put on the headline of my Facebook, and it says, it just says Trump, go, go, in the name of God, go. Ye have tarried too long for any good that you have been doing. Depart, I say, and have done with you, and stand not upon the reason for your going.
I wonder if Oliver Cromwell knew that he would remain so relevant.
I don't know. I haven't had any hits on that. Of course, I'm always putting stuff on there about how much I despise Trump and what a shill I think he is. But very few do I get many, you know, responses. I don't know if people are scared or what.
Well, look, there's 33% of the American people that whatever Trump does to destroy this country, they're all for. Because they don't much like this country anymore anyway, because they're not getting all of the goodies. And you know, there's people that don't look like them who are getting all the welfare. I mean, remember the story that Louis Asparagus Gohmert told about how a constituent came crying to him and said, "I was standing there with my beans and rice in the grocery store line because I'm a hard-working merkin, and there was some lady with a bunch of youngins and her food stamp card in front of me, and she had a whole buggy full, of Alaskan king crab legs. And I don't appreciate it, Louie. I work too hard for poor people to eat crab legs."
And don't forget, I went out and got to get my old rusty old pickup truck, and she got into a brand new Volvo.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, listen, my friend, it's been 12 long years. At least you can say this. You have outlasted and will outlast Hitler's Third Reich.
I think I'm happy about that.
I think you should be. I think you certainly should be. Excuse my reference to the our Charlie Chaplin monster, but I just had to get... I was just thinking about that because... That whole business of his lasted 12 years, 4 months, and 3 days, or something like that. I don't remember the exact time. But, you know, you've outlasted one of the worst people in history. And not that that makes you any comparison, but as far as time-wise is concerned, I think that should be somewhat comforting.
And you know, from last night to tonight, it only took me the better part of 12 hours to remember the name Bismarck. I'm still bothered by that. I couldn't come up with Bismarck in a conversation last night.
I tried to hit you with an email or something.
That just bothered me.
Well, it happens to me. It happens to me all the time. And, you know, then all of a sudden, the hard drive clicks in. And stuff that happened 30 years ago, it's like yesterday. Things that happened today... Or, well, you know,
yeah, but
it
see,
takes a little while.
Right, but you don't want to know the thought process. Nobody wants to live inside my mind. You don't want to know the thought process that led me to finally come back around to Bismarck. Because with all the business with me, all the yogurt and everything, I still think a lot about things I'm not supposed to. Something, cream horn, eclair, canola, Bismarck!
Well, by the way, how are you doing anyway? You've had some complaints, I hear.
Hey, you know, I'm okay. I'm trying to figure out. I got to do something with cold weather coming on to be able to get some exercise going. They just scrape together enough money to get a gym membership and go and walk on a treadmill or it's something to make me sweat. Otherwise, I'll just I'll balloon up over the holiday, not holidays, but over the cold winter months until we get back to weed eating season. But no, this thing I did with the, I don't know, pinched nerve or whatever the hell it is, it hurts like all, and it's been going on for a week and a half now. Ibuprofen doesn't touch it. And you know, I got a feeling if I got a bottle of say, medicinal bottled in bond, that might help. And I don't mean in terms of like an alcohol massage either, but I can't do that anyway. The you know, taken medicinally internally for no, that's out too.
Listen, I have a confession I would like to make if I could.
Yes.
Back when I was first got my driving license, I had to take my mother's old maid sister, bless her heart, Aunt Catherine, to the doctor, and my Lord, she could be a pill to handle, and she was having back problems. And I said, Aunt Catherine, I said, you know, Dr. McCorkle's talked to Mom. Well, what did he say? What did he say to her? He says he thinks it's because you've been too sexually active.
Oh,
so
no.
She said, what? And she went in there to Dr. McCorkle, and she said, what do you mean, tell my sister?
How dare you, sir, you poltroon.
I've been too sexually active. I'm not even married. And so I barely got her home. I could hear the phone ringing, and guess who was on the line? Dr. McCorkle. He said, Helen, I'm worried about Catherine. He came in here and just actually read me the riot act. And then I could just see from the hallway where the telephone was, my mother just motioning to me with her finger, come here, come here. She was kind of a thing who could mouth those words at you, come here, come here, come here. And so she said, I'm going to tell your father about this.
She knew whence came the devil's work.
And when I told my dad when he was supposed to come up and you know, I guess punish me by putting me on, by grabbing me or whatever, he came in and closed the door, and he just burst out laughing. He said, I don't want your mother to hear it, but that's the funniest goddamn thing I've heard in a long, long time. And so,
now, son, you have to walk out here looking real chagrined and sheepish-like. Yeah.
There you go. Well, on that note, I shouldn't have done that, but I don't know, when you're 16, you get your first, I was 14 or 15 when I got my license, and I would have to do that, and it's just something that just popped up there, but I hope your back is, I don't know how to say about your back, but I just hope it gets better.
Well, thank you. I'm just worried about it because, you know, when this happened to Rush Limbaugh, next thing he knew, he was putting $10,000 in a cigar box and sending his maid out to bring him back $10,000 worth of dope. And I don't want that to happen because, well, I ain't got $10,000.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what your health care status is or whatever. But
I'm hoping if there's an Affordable Care Act marketplace left on November 1st, I hope to actually at least, you know, it's kind of like going to the car lot. You can't buy, but you can at least price. I'll price me some health care, and then I'll find out I can't have health care.
Well, God, I certainly hope you do. And they have some type of procedure now where they can just, you know, do like an inch of incision, and you're out of there almost the same day.
Yeah, that's what they say on the ads.
Yeah, I know. You don't know what to believe about these things.
Yeah, and the next day you're toting that barge and lifting that bale. Only it don't quite work that way.
Except instead of Old Man River, you down the damn river because somebody screwed up and tried to sell a product.
Exactly.
Well, listen, all my best to you and your family and to your son. I hope you have good luck in making him a man of the Renaissance and. But tell him to stay away from the Borgias, okay?
Well, yeah, and we've still got Aristotle to go through yet, so that may be a little bit of a hill to climb.
Oh, by the way, one more thing: how was Bridge Day and all the chili stuff?
It was wonderful. It was a big Bridge Day. It's a little claustrophobic out on the bridge itself, and so we got the grandbabies over onto the other end and. Walked around, had a lot of fun. There was one scary clown that we had to kind of go to the other side of the road for, but it was a lot of fun, and the chili was good. And I really want to do my own chili. I haven't done that since that chili cook-off in Beckley 12 years ago, and I think it'd be
a lot of
fun.
Well, that's quite a recipe you've got. I've never heard of such a mammoth. Mine's always been real simple. And, you know, the three, like I said, those three ingredients plus the regular peppers and onions. And, of course, I do a lot of stuff with some meat, like Worcestershire sauce and soy sauce and all kinds of
stuff.
Well,
that's just my cheap and cheerful chili, what I was talking about with the soup cans and stuff. No, when I get deadly serious about it, it's from scratch. And, I mean, we're talking about rehydrating chili peppers instead of chili powder, rehydrate them, put them through their Foley food mill, make a chili paste, oven-roasted garlic, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, good Lord.
And instead of ground beef, I use smoked brisket. It gets real special real fast. And it's hotter than bejesus. Jim, you have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Remember one thing. Chili represents three states of matter. Solid, liquid, and gas.
Ain't that the truth? We'll talk soon, Jim.
Bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from not too far away. That would be fun next year. I'd love to participate in the chili cook-off. because that is that my spend a day at it, Chili, is a far different animal from the quick, you know, quick and easy, you know, cans of soup method. Oh yeah, real different. Good calls this anniversary night. Thanks very kindly to Alma for jumping in on fundraising this evening. Thank you very, very kindly, Alma. I got a note from Alma saying, you're hard on Flake. And I realize that. But difficult times called for brave actions. And, you know, yelling poopy head over your shoulder as you run away is not exactly the height of bravery. It's more like Falstaff displaying the better part of valor, I suppose. Alma goes on and says, I read Night Comes to the Cumberlands. It was painful. I have no other word. I also bought John Scalzi's novels. Thank you for mentioning him. We did play our sports today. I'm trying to maintain things. My family came through North Carolina and settled on the border of Tennessee and Kentucky. There's still a cove named after my family. Some of them are still there. Appalachia is in a way, it's a sort of timeless place. Because family names stick around. I mean, there's places named Kincaid around here. And there's a Kincaid Lake. And from here, they spread out. At one point in time, there was a state legislator in Oregon named Kincaid, who was a direct relation to, you know, the bunch that I'm descended from. They say that after the last ice age, Appalachia reseeded the North American continent. Well, the same can be said for the Scots-Irish settling in Appalachia. We spread far and wide. It's kind of like that scene at the beginning of Idiocracy where the one, yeah, I'm going all of y'all tonight, and then the, you know. If we wasn't good at anything else, we was good at that. Note coming from Bill. Subject line, Star Trek. When you were talking about Joe Manchin, or however you spell his name, you reminded me of the episode where they landed on a planet where the people were able to mentally force people to do what they wanted to see. The smallest man on the planet wasn't able to cultivate the same ability. Yep. And therein we have our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Lines open, 27 minutes before the hour. If you want to jump in, if you've got a memory or something from or anything like that, feel free to share it. And I'll be tickled to hear it because, well, the horn has meant a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and it's really kind of neat the way this little community has formed and morphed over the years. By the way, some other notes coming in, and they're really kind and really sweet, and I really appreciate them. Terry in Amherst says, you're the great diamond in the rough. The silver lining in this Trump administration was finding Bob Kincaid in our desperate search for a voice of reason, high intelligence, humor, kindness, and beautiful sanity. We owe you so much, Bob. With profound gratitude and love, Terry in Amherst. Thank you so much, Terry. Thank you so very much. Meanwhile, note coming from Albert. Bob, I immensely enjoy your nightly talk shows, especially Moran Mondays and church meeting Wednesdays. Well, that's coming around tomorrow. And I've already got prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. So look out. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Sparky reminded me of something a little bit ago. This is from a few years back. Just some of the wackiness that has ensued over the years. Let's see here. Well, okay, let's hold up. Got a call coming in. Hey, welcome to the program. Yo, hello. Maybe you're muted? No, you gave up. Okay, let's try again. Are you there? I show that we're connected. Come on now. Just a minute. Oh, this is what call screeners are for. All right, let's try Massachusetts instead. No? Okay, this is just getting weirder and weirder. Almost makes me wonder if there's something wrong with the connection. It is, after all, Frontier. Huh, okay, let's try Wisconsin again. Hello? You're on the air, somewhere in Wisconsin. Hello, hello. Now, see, I know we're connected. Someday, you know, full staff, all of that. All right. And again. All right, let's kind of clear things out and see if that helps any. All right, okay, so there's Western Mass again. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yeah, Carl?
Hi, it's Carl.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, Carl, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I got a question. You're, what you think is a pinched nerve? What is it affecting?
Let's see, it runs up and it turns into a headache, and then it runs outward sort of from my shoulder blade and down my right arm, and it feels like there's a knife in my arm just south of my elbow.
Any fingers tingling?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Might be the way you're sitting.
It's probably, that probably has something to do with it, because this happens to also be the arm that I lean on the chair, because I fall into bad posture habits during the program. I don't sit up straight and project like I ought to.
I had it last year. I was running a crane with a seat that was lean weight. It was locked in a real, real bad back, you know, laid back position, so I was looking down all the time. And I got between just arthritis in the neck, you know, normal 50-year-old stuff. And that, it pinched the nerve, which I still feel today, but at least it's not painful. I could sleep at night. My thumb's still a little bit numb, you know, just tingly, numb the surface. But if you do exercise, like you put a bungee cord or something on your neck and you hold it out with your arms, hold the ends of them out with your arms, and you exercise your neck back and forth. Right.
Do you put the hook of the bungee cord on the bolt in your neck? And I mean,
you could do that if you really want. It might be painful. Try that.
Okay.
And also, what are you doing for heat in your bedroom now? This is going to get cold really quick.
It'll be a combination of electric space heat and propane.
What size is your bed?
It's queen size.
Queen size. Okay. All right. And hold on. Let me get a pen and a piece of paper. What's your address for your mailing box?
It's The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley.
PMB.
Yeah, that stands for personal mailbox. PMB 318 Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y.
Yeah.
North
Eisenhower Drive. I actually know where that street is.
1038. 1038.
North Eisenhower Drive.
Yeah. And then PMB 318 yep. Beckley 25801.
All right. Okay. Also, I called you, I think, 2 weeks ago about my trees still green.
Yes.
They're still green.
It was Bridge Day on Saturday, and usually you're beginning to get some color. It was just as green as could be.
I'm in Massachusetts. There's still I have my fig tree still outside. It's not growing because of the fall sun, of course, because they sent leaves and plants can sense a different intensity of light and everything else. But everything is still growing. My fig tree. My artichokes are still growing. They're still outside. No leaves lost at all. And my maple trees are just turning to rust. They're not turning brown or anything. They're just turning black. But
just blowing right past the color phase into done.
No, into dead. You don't see leaves turning black like that unless they're diseased.
Oh.
It's really strange. Really strange. I think we're going to have a very bad bug problem this year.
Well, I was looking at the projected jet stream pattern, and you guys might get, apparently down here, we're supposed to have a relatively mild winter, and anybody north of the jet stream is supposed to be Katie bar the door, and the jet stream is supposed to just pretty much keep you guys smothered.
Oh, snow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could believe that. Well, you have a nice anniversary party tonight.
Well, I appreciate it, Carl. It's always good to hear from you. It's a little bit disturbing that things are not looking the way they ought to. I mean, you ought to be like appreciably sort of cool, if not cold, by now, right?
Yes, it was. I brought my son to school this morning. It was still dark at 7:15, and it was 68 degrees when I got in my car.
That's nuts. Because I mean, you're not far from the Berkshires, are you?
No, I'm close to the foothills of the Berkshires.
Yeah,
I work out there quite a bit, and it's you know 20 miles away if you really want to call it.
So I mean, are they changing at the higher elevations or anything?
Yes, they are, but it's still around here. It's you know we should only be a week later than them. And even up there, I went up on a mountain Sunday, and you could still see there's a lot of green.
Well, like I said, our Bridge Day, everything around was green. Now, if you get into the roads that run, like for me, on the way out to the highway, you'll see the reds and the golds and stuff like that. But for the most part, the dominant color is still just you know very nice green.
Green, yep. Well, global warming doesn't exist.
Chinese hoax, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was a liberal hoax.
The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini said it was a hoax concocted by the Chinese to destroy our manufacturing base.
Yes. I don't get that.
You're not supposed to. You don't have enough spirochetes to keep up, Carl.
Yes. Oh, we should do a thing on your Facebook page. All the different names we call him.
There's been an attempt to come up with a list from time to time, and the thing is, it keeps growing.
Yes or no? Every time he opens up his yap.
I started out with Comrade Kumquat, but given his heritage, I moved over to Kaiser Kumquat.
Yes. He just pissed me off this last week with all his crap about that widow. That really pissed me off.
I know who it was. It was Don Lemon over at CNN. Used some broadcast time to deliver an open letter to Donald Trump, and he said, "What if this was Ivanka or Tiffany, who were pregnant and trying to take care of children and grieving the loss of their husband?" And I thought, you know, that's not going to resonate with Donald Trump, because no Trump has ever served his country. They don't do that. That's for the pros to go to.
Exactly.
Yeah, his grandfather chicken shitted out of the German army.
Yep.
That's why they deported him.
Yep.
I don't know about his mama's side. I mean, up there in that far island, and somehow or another they managed to stick around. They must not have been good for much during the rising.
Yeah, you got a point there. All right, I'll let you go.
All right, you take care, Carl. Good talking to you.
Yep. Have a nice one.
Thanks.
Bye.
And big thanks to David in Australia. Thank you, David, for jumping in on fundraising this evening. Thank you very, very kindly. That's huge, and that's tremendous, and provides a little breathing space and a little bill-paying room. Thank you very, very much. Oh, my goodness, it's Richard in Tennistan. Hey, Richard.
Oh, hello. Let me see if I can turn down this computer.
That would be helpful.
Yes,
yeah.
Hey, Richard. Okay. Well, I just wanted to wish you a happy anniversary, Bob.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's all of our anniversary, though. It's not just mine. It's the
I just remembered how I happened to find you in the first place, which was, you know, where I was in California,
right.
There was a group of people, the board of directors, which was corrupt, the board of directors of the Pacifica Foundation were turning to abscond with the Pacifica Radio Network. And somehow I found my way to White Rose Society on the web and found your program on their site. And that's how I found the horn.
Well, it would. I'm glad you brought that up, because it would be. It would have been a profound mistake on my part not to mention the immense role that Ben Birch played in preserving the very idea of progressive radio back in the early part of this century. You know, Ben has served out, and he's never sent a bill. Ben, through the good offices of the White Rose Society, Ben has served out literally billions with a B, of hours of progressive radio to anyone who wanted it. And that's the folks he could count. That doesn't even count folks out on, you know, like Usenet and so forth. Billions of hours.
Boy, Usenet. Boy, I have not heard of them in so long. Does Usenet still exist?
You know, that's one of those, I got no idea.
I've been thinking about people I used to hear on the horn. How about Gunny Bob?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I haven't heard from Gunny in a while. It's been a long while. And, of course,
Gunny used to like to call in when he was eating.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And he called Malloy once and said, "I'm eating cheese." And, you know, Malloy can get kind of hot. He said, "Don't call me when you're eating cheese."
Click. Yep. I was actually listening to that night.
"I'm eating chicken."
Yeah, chicken.
"Don't call me when..." And who's our guy in Wisconsin with the pizza?
Oh, that was Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin.
Yes. Yeah.
Albert, and I mean, there's been a lot of people. Of course, as I noted a few weeks ago, Agnes found out a little bit. We lost Peter Godbold back in February.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking. And I think about I think about Maura, Maura in New York City, who had her health ruined, breathing that dust that Christine Todd Whitman, the EPA administrator under dim leader, said was safe to breathe in the aftermath of September 11th.
Yes, I remember when we lost Maura.
And
boy, a lot has happened in 12 years.
It boggles my mind to think about. And the fact that the Horn family has kept this going that long.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, is there anybody else out there that's just run on the goodwill of its audience, of its community? Because I'm not aware of it. You know, usually there's a sugar parent, a sugar daddy or a sugar mom, somebody providing massive amounts of institutional level funding. And
yes, right.
That's never been the case here, you know, that or else, you know, advertising, that sort of thing. And no, that's never happened.
Who's that health food guy in New York? Progressive Radio Network? I forgot his name.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Me either. You've got me there.
Yeah, but he's got an incredible operation. I don't know where the money comes from for it. Well, I'm going to go and let you talk to somebody else. I just wanted to say happy anniversary, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Richard. You doing okay in Tennistan?
Well, health problems. They don't have expanded Medicaid here, and I'm feeling it. But that's a whole other.
Yeah, that's a different conversation. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, I never dreamed that there would ever be a time when West Virginia had something better than Tennessee. But yeah, at least we've got the expanded Medicaid for as long as this administration allows it to continue to exist.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Okay, let me get off in 12 more years, Bob.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Richard. You take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy Richard, down in Tennessee, formerly of the Bay Area. And all right, Flavio's been trying to reach. Do we have you, Flavio? Oh, Flavio. That's just bizarre. I've gotten emails from Flavio saying I'm trying to call. Well, I'm trying to answer. And I got nothing. Apparently he's being thrown to voicemail or something. All right, one more time, Flavio. There's Flavio.
Hey! Oh, my God. I don't know what the problem was.
You know, 16th time's the charm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I just wanted to wish you a happy anniversary. And I remember the first time I heard you on the radio, you were playing. I think it was Dark Matter, that wonderful series of cartoons.
Oh God, yeah. With who's the little who's the God and Satan, and then Jeffrey. Yeah,
Jeffrey. Oh my God.
I make it a point to run over to YouTube every so often and just check in and see what they've done, what Dark Matter's done.
I never laughed so hard, and then of course he introduced me to the movie Idiocracy, which I must have seen now for three or four times.
It becomes not so much a film as an anthropological examination of American life, doesn't it?
It does. It's cultish too. It's like Rocky Horror Picture.
Hey,
you know,
And I mean, it's entered our vocabulary. We'll be going down the road, and I'll, and Agnes will say, you know, should you stop and get something to eat? And I'll say, yeah, an extra big ass fries. I picked up a bottle of water the other day, and son of a bitch, it said so on the label. It's got electrolytes. And I just looked at Ferg and said, of course it does. It's what plants crave.
It just goes on and on. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on blood pressure medication finally.
Just now, finally?
Yeah, a week or so. It does seem to mitigate the high blood pressure, but it runs in my family anyway.
Yeah, running.
You know?
Yeah, but Flavio, you know, running around at 260 over 138 is no way to live.
No. It's like it was. I gained all the weight that I'd lost. I went up from my ideal is 190, and I went up to 230. I'm like, holy cow, how did that happen? And so I need to lose that weight again because it's not good for me. I don't look morbidly obese, but any weight above my ideal is not good. Less is more.
Yeah, well, you can tell, you know, you just can. You can tell.
You feel immediately.
Yeah, I thought of you last night when I told the Brazilian joke again.
Oh. What was that joke?
Oh, you'll have to go and check the archive. I'm not going to tell it two nights in a row.
Last night.
Yeah.
All right. No, but yeah, I discovered it when I went to the dentist because the dentist always takes my blood pressure, and she said I'm not giving you anesthesia until you get that fixed. That's way too high. It was 211 over something. It was like ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the one where the doc, see, that's where medical school comes in, because the doctor has been trained or the dentist has been trained not to go, holy shit!
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, again, it runs in the family, and I had to take care of it, and I guess I've been ignoring it forever, you know, because I'm stubborn as a mule.
Oh, by the way, this is a good one. We have a new nickname for Trump, courtesy of Bill.
Hmm.
Chancellor Cheeseface.
Chancellor Cheeseface.
I'm keeping that one.
Ooh.
That came in via Twitter.
I love that one.
Yeah.
That is great.
Thanks kindly for the good wishes from Nikki and everybody else on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you very, very much. Flavio, I got to roll because we're out of time.
All right. You have a great evening, and I'll try and call in more often.
All right. I hope you, I'm glad you got through. Take care.
Take good care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Watch that blood pressure. So, and here endeth the 12th anniversary show and the beginning of our 13th year of broadcasting. One last note for the program. As before we close, I do credits every night and thank the people, all the people, as best I can, who keep all of this going. The one person who doesn't show up in the credits is the one person who probably does the most. And that's Agnes, my beloved wife. We will be a quarter century married on May the 1st of next year. And this could never have persisted as it has if it had not been for Agnes. Early on, she actually ran the board and produced the program. But then when she realized that the 3 hours that it took to do the program, that in those 3 hours, our little family was running amok back into the inside the house. she went to go back and take care of them. And in the background, Agnes, without a doubt, is the biggest reason, the most wonderful reason, why this program continues. Because doing it without her is damn near impossible. So thank you, everybody. It's time to get out of here. Here's a fun little fact for you, courtesy of Sparky. Over the years, there have been 2,229 people sign up for the chat room. That tells you something. It's a heck of a community we've got here. And thank you, Sparky, for all the years of maintaining the chat room. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who make this community. Thank you for the thoughts you've shared over the years via email and all manner of other forms. Thank you to all of you. And it is admittedly a lesser number than the overall number of listeners, community members. But thank you to those of you who, through your kind contributions, make it possible for everyone to listen who wants to listen. I can never say thank you enough or deeply enough. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff and the various members of them over the years. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, who has gone the extra mile for years, keeping Agnes and me from just tearing our hair out trying to keep the equipment going. Thank you to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, about whom not enough good things can ever be said. I maintain the position that there would not be progressive radio to speak of in this country were it not for the work that Ben Birch did early on when it was damn near impossible to find anywhere but WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks, of course, go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. The struggle they wage in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds it is stunning when you realize what goes into it. And, of course, as every program ends, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.